I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. It's Monday, February 27th, 2023, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We have a big weekend to talk about. We have a big week to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we excited about the show today. Excited. Oh,
yeah.
I could not be.
I go as far as saying shot out of a cannon.
I agree.
I even put up a video today. I was so excited about it.
Oh, no, I'm the only one who didn't put up a video?
Yeah.
Oh, I put up a video again.
I know. Were you serious again? Were you like, hello?
No, I was a little bit more up.
Okay.
Because, you know, I listen to you. You're very good.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking me seriously like that.
Well, you know what else should be taken seriously right now?
I'm the New York Knickerbockers.
I'm going to say it. That's right. Your New York Knicks, baby. It is the Knicks weekend recap brought to you by Jack Pocket. And here we go. So we said on Friday the Knicks had to win the two games that they were facing in order to, you know, make a statement with the 22 games remaining after the All-Star break. And they made a statement. They won into D.C., and they beat Washington. Then at home, where they're getting a lot better than they've been, they really slapped around New Orleans. And all of a sudden, they're 8 games over .500. I think they have essentially caught the Nets. I think they're 0.002% in back of them,
yeah.
percentage points behind them. But they'll pass them, especially the way the Nets played against Chicago. They played okay yesterday against Atlanta, but they got waxed in Chicago against the bad Bulls team.
That game
was
over
right away.
The Knicks
are right there.
But that's still, Michael, in battling for position, that's a loss that's really tough against Atlanta. To lose on a last-second shot?
Oh, yeah. It's tough, but the Knicks are winning those games. Last 39 games, they're 25-14. Against winning teams since December 4th, they're 10-7. And that turns everybody, tonight's game, into a really nice, interesting matchup. Now, is it a litmus test? I don't know. That might be a little dramatic. But the Knicks against the Celtics tonight, let's see exactly where the Knicks are. And this is the type of thing, and Don and I were joking about it before the show, the Knicks beat the Celtics tonight at the Garden, and then tomorrow's going to be, we're going to have to talk people off the championship ledge. You know, they could beat anybody now. Well, I don't think they're there, but they're a pretty entertaining, pretty good team.
But what's the matter with wanting to show something? I have no problem calling this a measuring stick game. You want to find out where you are against the elite teams in the NBA. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all. Even if you win the game, there'll still be that, oh, well, did the Celtics really want the game? They just had an emotional victory against Philadelphia on Saturday night. Whatever, you can find excuses in the NBA for teams that are favored to lose.
And no Jaylen Brown either.
Right. So there's some built-in excuses for the Celtics. But why can't you, as a Knicks team, winning 5 in a row, 8 games above .500, when we would have settled for 6, that was like the line of demarcation for Peter, if you remember. Like, let's get the 6 over. Well, now it's 8 over. Well, let's get to double digits. Let's get to 10. Let's see what you can do against the Celtics. I have no problem having moments in a season when you're growing into becoming something where you say, this is a game where we really find out what we are against the elite teams. Don't put all of it in, like, well, if you win the game, you're going to win a championship. If you lose, oh, same old Knicks. But why can't you get fired up on February 27th, which is usually the dog days of an NBA season, to go out there and get excited to find out what you can do at home against maybe the best team in the NBA?
So what impressed you more, Michael? The sort of gutsy win in Washington, or for me, I was sort of taken aback when I turned on the game Saturday and they were up as big as they were. What impressed you more?
Well, I got worried on the Friday game, Peter. The only reason they won the Friday game was because of Julius Randle having a phenomenal night. They fell behind early, and that always concerns me with this Knicks team. But I think that we have to recalibrate the way we watch the NBA now. Teams blow big leads all the time. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, look at the Lakers yesterday. They were down 27 points to the Mavericks, and they ended up winning that game. Poor Kyrie. They're not playing well. I feel so sorry for him. But I was impressed by the Saturday game, Peter, because they took a team that they should beat without Zion, and they slapped them around, and they never trailed. And they ran away with it. That's what you have to do. And they're starting to reestablish dominance at Madison Square Garden, which has been a problem all year. I love the fact that they ran that team right out of New York City. So, yeah, I agree with you. Friday gave me some concern because the Wizards are playing better, but they're still a team that the Knicks should beat, and they beat them. That's all that counts. But, Saturday was important.
No, Saturday was huge because – you played the night before. They were off. They had an off night in New York City. Now, maybe they spent some time in New York City, and maybe that led to them getting off to the slow start. But, and I got to tell you something, because the Knicks went through the same thing that I did on Saturday. I don't know if you've had to deal with it, Michael, if you know what it's like playing the Nationals in Washington. It's like leaving Washington is a bear. It's a 45-minute trip to the airport. It takes you longer to get to the airport from the arena after a game than to fly back to New York.
And also, Peter can attest to this, too. Some people don't even want to leave Washington ever.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh.
You know what? I've heard that. What airport are you referring to, Don?
We flew out of Dulles. And it's a running joke whenever we play the Capitals. It's like it's going to take all day to get to the airport. Like, are we driving back home or are we going to the airport? And then you get on the plane, you fly back, which usually takes about an hour. So it's not like a big deal, but it just seems like, it's the longest trip to the airport in the league.
Well,
I think it's worse than Denver, where they basically put the airport in Idaho.
Well, I don't want to call for anyone's job here because I know the traveling secretary. It's a very important job. I need to know why they're doing Dulles.
I don't know.
You got three options, and Nationals so close when you're downtown. Why are they doing Dulles?
I don't know.
Listen, I don't know their specifics, but there are some places that you can't fly private planes out of, and other places where the Rangers are landing, you have to take off maybe from
Dulles. All I know is nobody would have the inside more than the team that plays there. The Capitals were going to Buffalo. It was the weirdest thing. We both arrived at the same time. I had to make sure I didn't get on the wrong plane. Like we were both going through security and going to our respective planes back home to New York. So if the Capitals are flying out of Dulles, it must be a thing. But my point is that the Rangers played a 1 o'clock game, and I got home at 8:30. Like so, if the Knicks played a late game, so the point is that you played the night before against a team that's rested, had already arrived the day before in your building, and you blow them out of the building in the first quarter. So I don't know if they were spending a little too much time in the nightclubs or whatever, but the fact is that was impressive to me what happened on Saturday.
Well, you think they were nightclubs, Don, or maybe discotheques?
Neither one of them really is a
nightclub is fine. Club, club still works.
Right, but nightclub is
you don't always hear the full
Sammy of the
Well, come on. Nightclub is a nice way of saying that they go to a strip club. I mean, Scores still open?
No, I'm thinking like some great club down in the meatpacking district. But nightclub?
Is that still a thing?
That's a Copa.
I don't know. Is Scores still a thing?
I don't know.
Sure, it was when I was younger.
I bet it was.
I got to say something, too, that was on my mind. I don't know how you guys felt. I'm not saying he hasn't done things over his time here that were like slightly irritating. Obviously, the whole moment going back and forth with the crowd was not a great look for Julius Randle. But I think it's about time. I was sitting there watching Friday night, and I go, man, I know he can be inconsistent. I know he's not the hero they wanted. But, man, can we give this guy his flowers? He puts up some numbers, guys, that are straight-up big boy lines. The line on Friday night was not a casual, solid NBA line. That dude, I think at some point we're going to turn around and go, did we ever stop and really appreciate how good Julius Randle was? Was he perfect? No. But we spend all of our time, and the media does this all the time, and I get why we do it, because there's a lot of truth to it. He's not a superstar. He's not an A-list superstar. He gets told so much what he's not.
Right.
But what he is a hell of a player.
And I think he's really been helped a lot by Brunson. Because it takes away the element of his game, which I think is his weakest, where he's, you know, he's ball dominant, and he has to dribble the ball to get into a spot to get a shot off, and he got stripped so many times over the last couple of years. Now, the guy bringing up the ball is Jalen Brunson, the way it should be, and he gets the ball to Julius in a spot where he can actually maneuver. So he's shooting just under 46.5% from the field, about 35% from three-point range. Yeah. He pulls down 9.6 rebounds, and also dishes the ball 4.1 assists per game, and he's averaging 25.1. He's a legitimate all-star. Legitimate all-star. I'm not going to say anything negative about the Knicks today. I learned my lesson on Friday. You guys are always accentuating the negative. This is a nice team, and Alan Hahn on Barton Hahn today gave an absolutely great stat. If you look at the 3 years now where Tom Thibodeau is the coach, after the All-Star break, I think Alan said the combined record of the team after the All-Star break is like 34-20. So he has them ready to play at the end. He builds things slowly, and the biggest thing that the coach did was he shortened the rotation. And it was sad because he pretty much made Derrick Rose a non-person, but that led to a great moment on Saturday where the crowd was chanting for Derrick Rose and they put him in.
Right.
I think he was 0-for-3 from the field, but still, he's a guy that the players love and he has accepted it, and he has been a leader from the bench. This was a guy who was an MVP. Let's not forget that. So he shortened the rotation down to 9 rather than keep forcing Derrick Rose into the picture, although Derrick Rose is one of his favorites. And he also just made sure that Quickley got the ball more. He's playing like 8 more minutes per game now. Really smart moves by Thibodeau, who can coach. Well, a lot of people don't love him, but this guy's a good coach.
But I do think, because I got a lot of that feedback too, about we're too negative about the Knicks. It's not that we're negative. What I feel I'm guilty of, and maybe as a show we're guilty of, is that we keep talking about what they're not instead of talking about what they are. And this goes back to Melo. Well, Melo wasn't LeBron James, and he took a lot of heat for that. He was the plan B. But he was still good, and they had their best season in recent memory with him in 2012, 2013, when they went to the second round and won, 54 games? And we're back to that now where we could feel like, all right, maybe it's not a championship-caliber team, but it's a fun team. It's a team that I think right now Knicks fans should be red hot if they're not playing in the second round. Like, why can't you feel like that's a possibility,
well,
the way they're playing right now?
I think that this week tells you a lot. All right, you start with the Celtics, then you have the Nets on Wednesday. You got to knock the Nets off, and then they're in your rearview mirror. And you could actually look at the Cavaliers, who are only 2 games in front of you in the loss column. So if you move in the fourth place, all of a sudden you're playing the Cavaliers in the first round with home court advantage at the Garden. And then Friday they're at Miami, and then Sunday night on ESPN, the Knicks and the Celtics. I think by the end of that game, we're going to have a real good idea of where the Knicks are. Are they pretenders, or are they legitimate contenders? I mean, if they come out of this 4-game stretch 3-1, you could pound your chest and go, that's awesome. That's awesome work.
But I think that's where you get yourself in trouble, because it is where you say legitimate contenders. That's a lot to ask, isn't it?
Like, well, I don't think they can beat just the top 3 teams.
Why can't you just have fun with what they are in hopes that they can grow into being the Celtics, the Bucks, or the 76ers? But then, you know, if you end up having a big week, do you fall into that game of, well, now we're contenders? Because Peter, there was a life before Peter on the Michael Kay Show.
What?
That's what happened in 2013. Because if you remember, they won 54 games. They made it to the second round. I think they lost in 6 to Indiana. But during the course of that year, Peter, I believe they beat Miami 3 out of 4 times. So Knick fans started to call. It's like, I think we can win. I think we could beat the Heat. I think we can win a championship. And I think that's kind of fool's gold right now. You're not supposed to be. As presently constituted, are you supposed to be a contender for a championship, or just growing to where it becomes an attractive place for free agents to want to come to? You're growing, being a consistent playoff team, winning a round, maybe getting to a conference final if everything breaks the right way. But, Michael, you start throwing out contender. Am I being negative if I say that I think you got to pump the brakes on thinking about them being a contender for a championship?
Well, I don't think they're a contender for a championship, so maybe that was a misplaced word by me, but where you almost get a feeling that, you know, if everything fell right, they could knock off a team in the second round. I don't think they will. I don't think that they could beat the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think that they could beat the Boston Celtics. And I don't think that they could beat the Sixers in a best-of-7 series. Doesn't mean that they can't battle. They can't push him to six games, something like that. But they can beat the Cavaliers. They could beat Miami. They're a legitimately good team.
What did Perkins say last week?
I dismissed what he said. I don't agree with him. But he said he wouldn't be shocked if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, he said I wouldn't predict it. But you're kind of dancing in the same neighborhood, right?
No, I don't think they can do it.
But I think what he was saying, if you listen to the whole thing, was that he's not expecting it to happen. But if you continue to play the way you're playing, then why can't you, if you catch a break? I mean, the year that we're talking about, 2 years ago, when the last time the Knicks made the playoffs and they lost to Atlanta in the first round, did anybody expect the Hawks to go to the conference final that year?
Nope.
So why can't they do that? But now to beat the Celtics or the Bucks in a conference final and then win a champion, that might be a little bit too much. But I think you can allow yourself to daydream about being competitive in the second round. And if you catch a break.
See, I do my dreaming at night. I don't daydream.
I love daydreaming.
Really? What do you daydream about?
Yeah, go ahead. Take us through it.
It's weird. I go down these like wormholes of just like you start thinking about what if this happened you just start playing.
Tell us, give us a specific.
Well, just like what if I became a teacher? All right? Would those kids actually make it? Would I be a good teacher?
You mean your kids or the kids in your class?
No, the kids in my class.
Okay.
Or would I have been one of those teachers that you see like pummeled in viral videos because I take away the Switch?
I could see that also.
Or Twitch. So I don't the things like that. What if I was Quincy's assistant?
These are the things you think about.
Well, what do you want me to daydream about? Because what Michael's suggesting, that's at night.
No, you can daydream about that stuff in the day.
Sure, you can.
I don't see where it goes.
I choose not to.
I don't see where it goes during the day.
Depends on your day.
But
what time do you shower?
Wow.
All right.
Well, that's the Knicks weekend recap brought to you by Jackpot.
It certainly was.
Yeah. Powerball, Mega Millions, big money all the time. Love them. Love those. Love the app. You play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket.
Yeah.
What was that?
What if I became a teacher?
Download the Jackpocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Mega Millions 145, Powerball 131 million. Love it. Peter, very quick, because you impressed me. You, in real time, you were pretty much predicting how the Jake Paul fight was going to end up against Fury. And it was a split decision, and Fury won. Now is the luster off of Jake Paul.
Listen, I'm sure for some people it will be, and a lot of people thought it was a really bad fight. Listen, there are people out there who thought Jake Paul won the fight. Some people thought it wasn't even that close.
But did he only win one round?
No. It was a split decision. So
I know.
According to the judge who ended up deciding the fight, it was 76-73 Fury. I had him winning, I think, three rounds, maybe four. Let me put it this way. I thought when he got the knockdown in the eighth, it had been close enough that I wouldn't have been shocked if he had won the fight. Do I think this will end him? No. I think they will set up a rematch, which there's a clause for. I think the rematch will be bigger. I think he will end up winning the rematch, and I think these guys know exactly what they're doing. That's what I think.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You are all over it. Love you for that.
Thank you.
I went to the Fordham game Saturday. They beat Rhode Island. What an atmosphere. It's unbelievable. I used to dream of the place being like that, and it hasn't been for 35 years. And they have 23 wins. It's an amazing vibe. Really is. Took my family there. Had the best time. Ended up going to Little Italy for dinner. Just great. The place was jammed. And next Saturday's game is already sold out. So the students are into it. Keith Ergo is amazing. So congratulations to my alma mater. I hope they do well in the big Atlantic 10 tournament. But 23-6, they had 25 wins in 90-91. They're 11-5 in the Atlantic 10, the most they've ever had since joining the conference in 95. 10-2 the last 12 games. They're 17-2 at Rose Hill, tied for the most home wins in Division I. I'm excited.
You're fired up, man.
Oh, my. Yay! How could you not be?
What a beautiful family. They just showed the picture. Wow.
Yeah, they had a time. I heard you were treated like gold, too.
You know, I got to tell you, Ed Call, the AD, was so nice. And for some reason, the PA announcer announced me. And I sat there. I'm going to get a little melancholy here, maybe even a little emotional.
Interesting.
And I, you know, who would have thought, like, in 79, 80, that they would announce me sitting there with my family in that same gym? And it was just, I got chills thinking about it because, you know, you don't think that this, I never thought I was going to have kids. I never thought I'd be married. And here I am being announced as the voice of the Yankees and the host of the show on ESPN New York. So that was really
how,
nice.
Now, important question.
That, here you go. This is good.
How was the reception?
It was really good. I was really happy. When I was walking in, the students were lined up outside Rose Hill to come in. And one of them said, "Let's go Mets," because, you know, that's the kind of kid that's going to fail in life. But you just don't do that to an adult. I'm an elder to him.
That's right.
But he shouted, "Let's go Mets." But when they announced me there, it was very warm. I'm very happy.
Could you give out a meter or anything or no?
I was giving out meters, yeah. Really going to hit for the ratings.
It really could help. We can get our logo on it. Everything would be tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, what's more surprising to you, that you're being introduced at Fordham as the voice of the Yankees, or that you're there with your family? It's an honest question.
Probably the voice of the Yankees.
Okay. But that's more surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I thought it when I was a college kid, I could have fallen into a family by accident.
Okay.
And the dream was to be the Yankee announcer, but, you know, I'm sure that's the dream of millions, but I'm the one that was lucky. So, very nice. Here's the worst part, though. So, they have these great scoreboards there, and they show, I'm sitting next to Charlie, and then there's Callie, and then there's Jody, and they show me, Charlie, and Callie, and they crop out Jody as if she wasn't even there.
That's when you walk out.
She was really, really taken aback.
Should be.
She said, "Do I not exist?" I said, "I didn't call the shot."
Yeah, why do you get to get heat for the ignorance of somebody else? I never understood that.
Yeah. Well, that's what marriage is about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys realize Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We don't have hockey today, right, Donnie?
No.
We have the Celtics and the Knicks tonight at 7:30. We'll have it right here on 98.7 at 7 o'clock, and the tip-off is at 7:30. That is Game Time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We've got so much to do today. We'll come back. We'll take phone calls. The first weekend of the new rules in baseball, how did they go? Give you our take. And we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Both Don and Peter, along with myself, would like to send out best wishes to Anthony Pusick's dad, Anthony, the really important Anthony. Had a little bit of a health scare over the weekend, on the mend, but we're all thinking of him, and we know he watches the show all the time. He wishes that his son would shave the goatee.
Absolutely.
But bottom line is we wish you all good things and quick recovery, and we're thinking of you. And if you need your son to take a couple days off, all three of us give him permission.
Of course.
Now, if this doesn't get him to shave it, what's going to?
I don't know. I don't think anything could get him to shave it.
Wait, are you suggesting that his father's health scare would make him shave it?
Yeah, because his father doesn't like it.
Or maybe it led to his father's health scare. I'm just saying.
That's a harsh take.
Yeah, I know.
That one day he said enough is enough.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about how big the Knick game is tonight, right?
Huge.
Playing out on Twitter how big it is. So the great defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, Sauce Gardner.
I know him.
2 hours ago, he tweeted out, I might have to tap in with the Knicks game. And then he wrote, well, they're out of courtside seats, so I guess tonight is a no-go.
I tried, though, y'all. By the way, never respected this man more.
Then he writes, to think I was about to come in with a special guest that was about to have Jet fans doing backflips is crazy. So he's got a little of Peter Rosenberg in him. Not touching the floor, he's not going.
Well, can we be fair, though, about him? He's the defensive rookie of the year. He's like the best player on the football team in town. He can't sit in 223. That's not an option. Don,
okay,
you agree.
But he could sit in like the third row or something like that.
Right. If he was a huge fan, yeah, he could. But he's not a huge fan.
So he just wants to be seen, is what we're saying.
No, I think he's interested because he now knows that it's a big thing, not because he's some devoted Knicks fan.
You know what? I like Sauce a lot. Not a great look when there are people that would love to sit in the 300 seats to say, I'm not courtside. Yeah. Doesn't look good.
Okay, I will say if I handled his PR, first of all, I'd say give me all the credit in the world because the deal I hooked up for you at Buffalo Wild Wings is amazing. And then the next thing I'd say is, hey, why don't we just go ahead and leave offline that's why you're not going? How about this? Wasn't able to get tickets. Wish I could be there.
Right.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
How about this?
You know what?
Can't make
all
it.
He had to do was call us, and we have a suite.
That's right.
At the event. You could sit in a suite.
Isn't a suite nice?
I think a suite's nice.
And
if one of us was going to be in the suite, they would absolutely kick us out of it just so you could be there.
And you know what? We'd understand.
I wouldn't. But I'm not going.
A little baseball news. Aroldis Chapman, who's now in the Royals, slipped and fell at his house on Saturday, cracking a tooth and splitting open his lip, requiring stitches.
Jeez.
It's always something with Aroldis. Infected tattoo, slipped and fell at his house.
That's weird. Is always something.
You know, when I reach a certain age, I'm never going to get out of chairs or bed. I don't want to break a hip that far.
You're going to stay in bed?
I'm going to just stay in bed. I'll be ambulatory.
You're going to be like the Brendan Fraser in The Whale. That's what you're going for.
Well, I haven't seen The Whale. I don't know if I'm going to put on that kind of weight. But
If you don't, Don, I don't think I'm ruining anyone to say it's about a fat guy. That's
no, I get that, but
I really didn't think it was. I thought it was about Moby Dick.
No, The Whale is actually SNL did a pretty funny skit about it this weekend. Sketch.
Speaking of SNL,
Woody
Harrelson's open, you know, his monologue was probably the worst I've ever seen on SNL. It was so bad. It wasn't one laugh.
He went for something different.
Yeah.
He went for something different.
What, like no laughs?
Well, we know Woody likes to smoke a little bit of Boubange, right?
Right.
And it felt like it was just a rambling hangout with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, it was not good. Not good. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's start it off. We're going to go all the way down to North Carolina, where Peter's favorite college is, Duke. And JJ's there. What's up, JJ?
Michael, Don, Peter, how are you guys doing?
Great. What's up?
Good. Speaking of Boubange.
not much. I was just wanted to talk about you guys, well, first, before I get to my point, you guys' promotional videos have been outstanding. It really, really makes me want to interested in the show now. It
cool.
It gets me
Thank
going.
Thank you, JJ. Thank you.
Which one are you referring to there, JJ?
He's referring to mine.
Oh, the ones you put on Twitter. I
mean, on Twitter?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Oh. Michael's
I thought you meant like the beautifully produced Brownshire commercials that are airing on MSG, not Michael's depressive hostage videos that he puts up on Twitter every day.
Wow.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Sure, Peter, you got to get on those too.
All right, I'm on.
For the Knicks, it's tonight is a big night. They got to prove they can stay with the big teams in the NBA, especially Milwaukee, Boston, some teams in the West. But if Randall and Brunson can transition to a really like not superstar duo, but you know a solid duo, might be able to attract a decent player in free agency or via trade. And, I mean, I think in the past, the Knicks have just gotten unlucky with, you know, Morant and Williamson going before them, getting Barrett, and then Curry going before their pick. But they've also made some bad choices, like Nikita instead of Mitchell or Knox instead of Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, they're going to need some luck, and if they win, then maybe they will be an attraction to a team. Maybe in 4 years or 3 years when Kevin Durant's a free agent from Phoenix, he'll decide to come to the Knicks at the age of 38. You know what I mean?
Catching a little abuse on Twitter that the Knicks already have a win against the Celtics this year, but it hits, I think I'm using this correctly, Peter, it'll hit a little different now, they're playing. And anybody could beat anybody any given day, but if they're able to beat them multiple times, continue this hot streak against a really good Celtic team, anyway, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be that impactful overall that we're going to be able to make a declarative statement off of it, but I just think it would feel real good and special to be able to win a sixth consecutive game, and that sixth game be against the Boston Celtics, who I think, I'm not going on a limb, are the best team in the NBA.
Let's go to Spike.
Spike.
St. Pete.
There he is.
Oh, man, Michael, Friday we said let's win these two games. A couple of quick points on the weekend. If you weren't touched by the Derrick Rose chant, you don't have a heart. That was just wonderful, wonderful. He turned down an opt-out, you know, to stay with this team. An all-time great player that was sidelined, unfortunately, by a lot of surgeries. But this team is spirited. If we go 2-2 or 3-1 this week, it'll be wonderful. And Peter, you're right. And I mentioned this Friday when Michael made the point of winning these two games, that Julius Randle, I mean, he cannot play better than he played. That is probably going to be, and hopefully he plays close to that again, the greatest game of his career. He carried the team, and that's what some guys do. We've all been overcritical of him, pounding the ball, going into the washing machine spin cycle. But you got to be psyched for this game tonight, guys. You really do. And I think with Jaylen Brown's out for personal reasons, whatever they are, wish him a speedy recovery like I do Anthony's father. This is the best I've felt about the Knicks in 11 years. They're playing their asses off. They're diving on the floor. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because we got Jalen Brunson, and that contract for him looks like we got away pretty inexpensively because the bucket he made after a poor shooting night in Washington made Porzingis look like a cigar store Indian.
I could not believe he hit that shot.
Unbelievable.
He looked like he got himself in a position where he could not shoot the basketball, and he got the ball off, and that was a gigantic bucket on Friday. Really cool. Really cool. He played. He didn't play great that day. It was all Randall, but he hit that shot. Did you see the news that Adam Schefter is reporting, Peter?
Is it about the football team?
It is about the football team. It's now called the Commies. They have released quarterback Carson Wentz. So I wonder if that's another name in the hopper for the Jets. You know.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't want that? Guys, trust me. He's great. Get him. Get him quick before he's gone.
Now, I know you're laughing. But somebody will get him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's worth having as a backup. Sure, why not? But, I mean, he can't start for you if you want to win football games.
Really?
No.
All right.
Does anyone disagree with me?
Well, he'll do better than anything they had last year, but still.
Oh, relative to last year, I mean, he's like picking up a Hall of Famer, but he's not good.
Right. So if they miss out on, you know, the King of Darkness, that's one. If they miss out on Carr, that's another. Ryan Tannehill says, I don't want to be there. Jimmy G says, I'm too good looking. Then you go to Carson Wentz.
Okay. Well, have fun with that, guys.
Well, maybe if it was a good coach, he'd actually play well.
So you think you're willing to say right now you're confident Robert Saleh is a better coach than Ron Rivera?
Well, first of all, they didn't have a good enough offensive coordinator because they fired him.
That's correct.
So I know we're like kidding on the square here.
We are.
I think there's still stuff in there. I mean, you can't be as great as he was.
I dare you to go back and look at how many offensive coordinators have gotten fired in the wake of dealing with Carson Wentz. He goes through offensive coordinators.
I understand, but the guy was an MVP until he got hurt. He was the MVP that year. Am I right, Don?
Yes, he probably would have won MVP, yes.
So you can't – I mean, for what reason did he lose it so completely? Now, maybe he's difficult in the room. Maybe he doesn't get along with the players. That's something you can't solve.
That is part of it.
But over 13 games, he was by far the best player in the league when he was at the Eagles.
Listen, and RG3 was rookie of the year and had a magical season, and his career ended up being all he was a backup. I mean,
And when you look at what happened with Foles winning the Super Bowl, was it a case of really good team, a perfect coach to get the most out of his players, and that, yeah, maybe Wentz would have been able to win that Super Bowl, maybe not, but was he just a byproduct of the team and the coach, considering what Foles was able to do to take over for him? So
now, if you were the Jets, all kidding aside, and you did get Rodgers or Carr, would you bring in Wentz as a backup rather than Mike White?
No.
You wouldn't? Okay.
No. Not because of all the things that Peter just said. Because your backup is a hit away from becoming your starter. Right, so if there's a lot of things you don't like, he goes through offensive coordinators, does he get along with his teammates, all those things could end up becoming an issue because Rodgers or Carr gets hurt. So why would you even want to go there? Now, do I think White is as good a quarterback as Carson Wentz? Probably not, but you know everybody loves him, and he can do the job. So, no, I would not do that, no.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Devils pick up Timo Meier, a really outstanding player. So they are getting ready for the playoffs. And we're waiting, Don. Will the Rangers be able to get Kane?
Oh, it's a fait accompli. They're getting him.
For sure.
Yeah. It's just a matter of making the money work. He doesn't want to he doesn't want to finish in Chicago. He's a free agent. He only wants to go to the Rangers, it appears. And the Rangers are making all these maneuvers by, you know, not playing Schneider and Carpenter last night, having back-to-back games, playing 11 forward 7D and holding guys out because these are all either players that are going to be involved in the deal or are going to be moved to make cap space. They're looking for a third team to be involved in the deal to alleviate some of the salary to make him fit under the cap. So once they work that out, he'll be here. Just a matter of when.
So you're doing Wednesday's game, so I'm hoping that it's then.
That'd be cool. Just to be able to call his first game. And then, ironically enough, his greatest moment as a hockey player came in Philadelphia, scoring the game-winning goal in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. So that would come full circle for him. So that'd be nice.
Now, the Devils getting Meyer, is that a direct connection to the fact they might play the Rangers in the first round and they want to get by him?
I think so. Listen, they didn't give up. They gave up a lot, but nothing on the current roster. Zetterlund's a good player, but not anybody that was consistently in the lineup, and they, you know, first round pick and all that. So they're trying to go for it, and why not? They're among, you know, the top 3-4 teams of the NHL in this regular season, so they kind of want to see it through. But, you know, they didn't have to give up Mercer. Everybody was concerned they were going to have to give up him. He's got 18 goals. He's really played very well for them. So it's a nice move. I just kind of speculated with Anthony during my Game Misconduct podcast is that they're locked in to play the Rangers, right? And I just wonder how different it would be. You have this great season out of nowhere. If it ends against Pittsburgh or Carolina, you're like, okay, we're a young team. We made the playoffs. Great. Do you want to have it end against the Rangers? And I think they feel like they match up well against the Rangers. Meyer's a guy that's already scored over 30 goals. So you plug him in with the Hischiers and the Hugheses of the world, and now you've got something really special. But they were scoring goals, Michael. They had tons of speed. You can kind of see, well, why give up the first-round pick, kind of see it through. It's not about this year. And then you see they're locked in against the Rangers, and I just wonder, does getting out of the first round mean more for them? Because getting out of the first round would mean beating the Rangers and just hit a little differently than just unexpectedly making the playoffs for the first time since 2018 and bowing out early. When it would be against the Rangers, it might be a little different.
And it would stink for the Rangers to bow out against the Devils.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Michael, I think after going to the conference final last year, I don't think going out of the first round against anybody is going to feel devastating. You know, you don't want it to be against the Devils, but you really don't want it to be against anybody, right? I mean, this was supposed to be the season that you were going to take the next step, and you go out and get Tarasenko, and it looks like they're going to get Kane, and bowing out in the first round against anybody, yeah, it would hurt a little bit more that it's the Devils, but Michael, the Devils can feel like we've got a future here. So if we get bounced in the first round, so what? We'll see you next year. But the Rangers went to the conference final. You don't want to follow that up by bowing out in the first round. I got to get Shesterkin right. He had a great game yesterday. I thought that was a really gut really just showed a lot to win that game, considering they were basically down to four defensemen after Miller got kicked out of the game and going up against a real good LA King team in the second of back-to-backs and winning that game. So, no, they've got to get out of the first round no matter who it's against.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mitchell, the limo driver. Mitch.
There he is.
Hey guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Listen, can I say a couple of quick things, but can I say something, Michael?
Sure.
Listen, you can't retire, guy. 7 years ago, I had a liver transplant, and when I was home from the hospital, you kind of made my life. So guys like me are out there. There's nothing on TV in the afternoon. You get bored of reading when you recover from major surgeries and things like that, and you guys were the best. So think about it, Michael. Hang in there for your public, okay?
Wow.
Well, thank you. That's really
sweet. That's compelling.
Okay. Second thing. We finally have a point guard since Walt Frazier. Not as classy, but he's really freaking good. I was not a Julius Randle fan when he came to the Knicks. Can't make a clutch free throw. Turned the ball over. Didn't pass the ball. He's become a totally different player in my eyes. And in the last month, he's kind of turned me around. And good luck with the Knicks, man. I don't think that they might make it past the first round, but nobody's beaten Milwaukee or Boston this year.
I would agree with you, and I think there's reasons behind the fact that you like Julius Randle more. He's passing the ball more because he trusts his teammates more. They're better. There's a better team. Now, the first year he had, it was an MVP-level season. People were chanting MVP. Then last year, it went ugly. It was not good. He fought with the fans. That's never a fight you're going to win. And this year, he's got a legitimate point guard. The Knicks have not had a legitimate point guard in the longest time. So 4 years, $100 million is, as Spike said, going to be considered a little bit of a bargain. It really is. They got that guy at a good price, and because they were accused of somewhat tampering before the fact, I think it also cost them a second-round draft pick, but I think that's a draft pick very well spent. Let's go to Bob in River Edge. Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. I was at the Fordham game on Saturday. Great atmosphere.
How was the response to Michael when they shouted him out?
Very positive. And he was like, I must say, he was very gracious to everyone. He took a picture of myself and my daughter after the game. She's a cheerleader.
Wow. I remember. Yeah.
All the fans were there, very respectful. Much the opposite of Digger. I don't know if you heard about that, Michael. He was.
No, what happened?
Before the game, you know, the cheerleaders line up for the lineup intros, you know, on the opposite sideline of where they usually stand. And they were standing in front of where the 71 team was, but just temporarily while the lineup come out. Digger asked one of the other girls, not my daughter, you know, get out of her way, get out of his way. You can't see what's going on. She said, I'm sorry, sir. We'll be here just for a minute. He then did the, do you know who I am? I'm Digger Phelps. I was the coach of this team that brought them to glory. And she's like, I'm sorry, we'll be leaving shortly. And, you know, she obviously didn't know who he was, but, you know, I just thought it was kind of odd.
It's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, I hate to hear that. Digger is 82 years old. It was great. I know that right before the game, he stood in front of the student section and you got a huge ovation. So, I mean, that's an isolated incident. But all the 70-71 team that, you know, was this magical run at Fordham, they came back. I hate to hear that was a bad interaction, but it seemed like he had a great time with the students. So, I can't speak to it, but, you know, he's an 82-year-old man. I have no idea if he did that or not. Let's go to Ronnie in the Cigar Lounge. Ronnie.
Hey, Mike, I'd like to pay Peter a compliment if
Let's
I could.
Let's do it.
Peter, last night at the Cigar Lounge, we were all watching WWE Biography. Your work on that show, really, we really enjoyed it. And I just want to leave you with one question, Peter. Were you as shocked as we were, dumbfounded at Jake the Snake Roberts' upbringing and background? If you could touch on that. Thank you, Peter. Great work.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I got a lot of nice words from people for that Jake doc. I've known about Jake the Snake's childhood and background for a long time. A documentary came out in around 2000 called Beyond the Mat that really dove into his, you know, upbringing. And, I mean, he was a child of rape. That's how he came on this earth. And then from there, it never got much better. Abused by his father, terrible. His story, the fact that Jake the Snake is still alive and with us, is truly one of the most remarkable stories in all of entertainment. His life has been unbelievable. And right now, the nice thing, I didn't see the doc last night. I don't know if they got to show this, but the nice thing is he's in a pretty good place right now. Pretty nice to see.
Yeah, a lot of people said that Peter was excellent on that.
Yeah,
it's no surprise to us because Peter's an excellent talent.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
Excellent
thank you.
Talent.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.